Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast, where we are having uplifting conversations about life in the South. We have two animals we're talking about today that might sound like more of a nuisance than an uplifting topic, but you know us, we will put a fun spin on it. Also, did you know that we have a community of supporters that receive a monthly bonus episode of this show, in addition to other perks like t-shirts and recipes? If you'd like to know how you can join in for more Southern fun and further the work that we are doing at Steel Magnolias, check out patreon.com/steelmagnolias. All right. I'll meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
Well, we are recording this episode, of course, in advance of the day that it comes out, but this episode will be released on Fat Tuesday. Did you realize that?
Whoop.
So we're, of course, like many Southerners, probably going to gorge ourselves before giving up something for Lent for 40 days, maybe. I gave up sweets last year, and, you know, this actually... It's been a while since I gave up sweets for any period of time, for Lent, for fasting, for any sort of dietary reasons. It had been a long time. And so, of course, like anything, I was like, oh, I didn't remember it was this hard.
Yeah, it is.
About halfway through that 40-day period is when the country shut down for the current pandemic that we're in. And do you remember everybody turned to baking? I don't know if you remember how many people took up baking. Or like reignited their love for baking. So it's like, this is like the worst ever to be shut in at home, not eating sweets and trying to abstain from baking. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage any of y'all that are about to approach a period. Grace to you. It is very hard, but it is so rewarding. I love the way that She Reads Truth, that organization and community that I've mentioned many a times on here. In their current study, they have a mention of fasting, and they described it as the practice of voluntarily laying down an appetite in order to reorient your focus on God.
It's so good. I heard somebody say one time that anytime you're fasting, it's important to also know what you're feasting on in its place.
Ooh.
Which is, sounds like a similar, like...
Yeah, don't just subtract.
Don't just subtract. You, with that time or effort or whatever, what are you feasting on instead?
That is so good. I love it. Well, again...
You will be rewarded.
High five to anybody that is like, okay, here we go. About to take on a season of laying something down. You will get through it, and it will be very rewarding. So... I don't know how to segue into our topic today, into possums from that, but today we are going to try and make this as humorous as possible, but these are some critters that needed some attention as they relate to Southern culture. We're talking about possums and armadillos today.
Yes. So I will fess up that, you know, I usually have this running list of topics. And when we were talking about what to do next, you know, we try to keep it interesting with music, food, lots of different directions. I've had this on the list for a while, and I was like, Larbeth, I'm going to propose a not-so-sexy subject,
yeah.
But it's important,
it is important
in our culture.
It got bumped a while, so we're finally giving it its
airtime. We're tackling
the
possums and armadillos of the South.
Well, first of all, we'll start with possums. The O is silent and feels very unnecessary, but that's just how some English words are, honestly. Like, sometimes I look at a word, if I actually think about it, I'm like, why is there an H in the word honest? Like, it's just silent. You know, if you...
Why didn't we start it with... Yeah, there's usually
that one
some
start
kind
with
of a...
an O? And so there... But, you know, and I'm sure there's some English teachers out there that are telling me right now as feedback why that is. But there are differences in the possum, O, possum, the word possum, that live in North America.
Versus
possums,
no O,
that
possum
starts with a P, that live
in Australia.
Yes. They're both marsupials.
Which, do you know what that means, really? A marsupial carries its young in a sack.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
Like, think kangaroo.
Well, yes, so, and the P word possum, they're more closely related to kangaroos.
Okay.
Obviously.
Didn't know that.
From Australia.
Actually, I didn't know that, so. Okay.
So anyway, I just wanted to, that just seems so weird. Anytime I see the word possum, I'm like, why does it start with an O?
Well, the O possum, like what we're talking about, actually originated in South America.
Okay.
So it is a different marsupial,
yes.
But nonetheless,
yes.
Still. And so the one we have here is, I believe it's called the nine band,
yes.
Armadillo.
Yes.
Okay, that's the one that we have here.
Yes. No, you said armadillo.
I'm sorry. I am thinking armadillo.
Yeah.
The possum is the Virginia.
Yeah, we'll get to armadillos in just a second.
I'm confusing my critters.
But they're both pretty ugly, so I can see where that would happen.
I think this the one we have here is called the Virginia.
Yes. It was...
possum.
It's a creature that was caught in Virginia, and it was brought to Royal Society in London.
Did not
for observation.
This.
And then the furry animal, it has a pointed snout. It's got really sharp teeth. Most remarkably, a pouch in its belly, like you just said, putting it in the marsupial family. Some people describe it did describe it like when it was brought to London for observation between a fox and an ape. I thought that was a very weird description.
Okay.
But the bizarre animal turned out to be the only marsupial native to US and Canada, like that they found in Virginia.
Okay.
So,
well, you mentioned their teeth. They have 50 teeth, more than any other mammal in North America.
Good Lord.
That's a lot of teeth. They're little teeth,
yes.
But that's a lot of teeth.
Yes.
They rarely exceed 12 pounds. I think they have been bigger than that, but
yeah.
That's pretty rare
yeah.
For them to be bigger than that.
Well, and so the word possum with an O derived from Algonquian word, which is a similar word, a possum, meaning white beast.
Okay. Good name.
So they're not really dangerous, though. Like, we're describing teeth, so I just want to go ahead and put it to rest. They actually are very helpful to gardeners, and I know we'll get into a lot more of this probably later, but they eat pests, y'all, like beetles and slugs, and they help control the tick population.
So this is the reason I am a fan.
So
I know they're unattractive, but y'all, they eat 95% of the ticks that cross their path. It's estimated that a single possum is capable of eating 5,000 ticks every season.
5,000?
5,000 ticks.
That's crazy.
So I'm fine with having them around for that reason alone. If you've ever had Lyme disease, know anybody that has Lyme disease, like, that is no joke.
Right.
So bring on
a
few possums.
So they're all over the South. They are definitely making their way or have made their way northeast. Like, they're already up in the northeast, and they are headed west, y'all.
Well, they're extremely fertile.
Are they?
Yes. So the females bring forth 2 to 3 litters of 8 to 18 young ones a year.
Wow.
Of those litters, it's averaged about 7 survive the early phase of life in that pouch, because they're all in that pouch so together.
Weird. So weird.
That's very odd. And yeah. But anyway, that's a lot. That's a lot of newbies.
Yeah.
And so even if half of them make it, that's a lot.
That's true. That's very true. Well, I wanted to talk about one of the funny sayings related to possums.
Okay.
Playing possum.
Playing possum. Or yes.
So that's just like pretending to be injured or dead.
Yes. It is a very strange survival tactic that they have.
Very strange. And I'd never thought about this till I started looking into this topic, but playing possum in response to threats from like oncoming traffic is often why they
get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's kind of their own detriment, like, that they've just caused. So,
well, it's very convincing. When, if you've ever seen this, they, like, go rigid. Their eyes are open but glazed. It's like they go kind of in a catatonic kind of state.
That's a great description.
Their mouth is open and often drooling. Like, it really does look
dead.
Dead.
Yes. Yeah, how do you... That was one thing I did read. There's, like, this, like...
discharge.
Yes. I'm like using my hands to describe something I can't describe. Yeah. So like, how do they produce that? That's almost like a mental thing. I can't get wrapped around.
Well, you know,
around.
You think about our bodies have fight or flight, where things kick in without you thinking about, like, oh, I need more adrenaline. It just happens.
Yeah.
So that's how God made them to have this tactic of being able to play dead, and then people just keep going, you know, thinking, oh, it's already dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very, very convincing if you've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Now, you were mentioning what they eat.
Yes.
Lots of bugs, ticks.
Yeah.
I mean, things we want them to eat.
Yes.
Some people are worried about them with their pets, like getting in a fight with a cat or dog. They are not going to want, they're not going to be the aggressor in that situation. Sometimes there will be a fight if they're cornered or something like that, but they're not going to be
an aggressor
to your pet at all. I wanted to say this because I have a personal experience. They will also eat dog food or cat food.
Oh my
gosh. So if that's outside, get ready, because they're coming. They have very strong nose.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have had in the past, I'm a sucker for the animals. If somebody shows up on my property, they're going to get fed, be that person or otherwise.
It's a true story, y'all.
So I have in the past had cats that show up, and I've had cat food outside. Well, one time I had a cat that was eating fairly regularly, had a little dish of food right outside my bedroom window, or bedroom door, rather. And I heard the loudest crunching. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that cannot be a cat. What am I about to open up?
That's got
to
be a bad feeling.
Turn the light on to find. Yeah. Like, I didn't know. Is there a mountain lion out here? Because it's loud. And I flipped the light on, and it is the fattest possum.
Oh my
like, maybe
gosh.
It's the thing that's been eating all along. You know, and I just thought I was feeding the cat. But anyway, I turn the light on, I open the door, and it just looks up and hisses at me, like, don't you dare come out here and mess with my food. Like,
wow. It,
so they hiss.
Yeah.
Kind of like a feral cat would.
Yes.
But they're actually scared in doing that.
Oh, for sure.
Just like a feral cat is. Like, their hiss is just hoping that it's going to work because they're nervous.
But their hiss is almost like a smile.
Yes.
Isn't it?
I'm very unattractive.
Like, as if y'all can see me.
Very unattractive.
But that, I feel like that smile, I mean, that's, is that smile, like, do people talk about that?
Or? Okay. That's hilarious you say that, because they do often have that little smirky kind of smile. Well, being that we're in the South and we are storytellers, in fact, we did a whole episode on storytelling.
We
if y'all didn't hear that one, you may want to go back and give it a listen. There are legends around the possum.
Are you serious?
In storytelling. I'm not even kidding.
Do
so
tell.
There is a Choctaw tribe story that became fairly rampant. That was why the possum has a large grin, or why the possum grins.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Why the possum grins. And it was actually made into a children's book. I think it was in 2012. And it is called Why the Possum Has a Large Grin, a Choctaw Tale adapted by The author's last name is Downing. So I printed out a copy of the cover. Is it not the cutest little thing?
But it's like a furry, it's like sweet furry and then fang teeth.
Like, and it looks kind of like it's, yeah, laughing at you.
Yes.
Anyway, so that came from the Choctaw tribe. The Cherokee tribe had a legend that explained that the possum's tail is naked because he burned it in a fire trying to make his white tail black.
Huh. Okay.
I haven't heard that full story, but there is a Southern black version of this story that has a ghost skinning all the hair off the tail when the possum, along with a fox and rabbit, try to steal corn from a graveyard.
Oh, that's funny.
And then in the Mississippi Delta, there's a story of the possum that was killed and put in to cook, but he ate all the sweet potatoes and gravy in the roasting pan and jumps out of the, and escapes the oven door.
Oh my gosh.
So just leave it to Southerners to come up with creative, funny tales about everything that comes across their path, including the possum.
Well, that's a fun segue to what I was going to bring up, which was eating possum. So I feel like if you eat possum, you are playing into the ultimate Hollywood depiction of hillbillies.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Like, I think even the Beverly Hillbillies had an episode where they ate possum.
Did they?
I think
maybe.
So.
Okay.
So
that was not a show that ever, I never enjoyed that show for some reason. I guess because I felt like it was making fun of my people.
It was. Yeah. So, I mean, we're defensive. We actually like the word hillbilly because of where it comes from. But I would just say gross. That sounds disgusting.
It does. But we've not ever lived through the Depression.
No,
I always go back to that. Like, you don't know what you're going to do when you're that hungry.
Right. That's very true. I heard recently of some island that they found, like, this is like current news, some island that some people had like washed ashore and they'd been eating rats.
Okay. I mean,
so like, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, today's sort of environment, I'm hoping that there's not anyone listening that that's where they're at.
Well,
unless they're choosing that, right?
But they like the taste of it, then so be it.
But even in the sense of roadkill, right? Because we've talked about how much, I mean, you can collect roadkill for eating in legally in 20 states.
Oh my goodness. Are they all Southern? I'll be so embarrassed.
Okay, lots of them are Southern. But what I thought was funny is Virginia is not one of them, which is where we've talked about the possum hails from.
Okay. They're kind of she-she in Virginia, though. They're Southern, but she-she Southern.
You can eat them in West Virginia, but you have to report it within 12 hours of collection.
Okay.
Gross. Okay. But anyway, on a lighter note, have you heard of possum pie?
Absolutely not. Okay.
Originates from Arkansas.
Okay.
Shout out to Arkansas. But thankfully, it does not use any kind of meat or roadkill or anything otherwise. It's a layered pie. It's actually also known as...
Is this like a savory pie? A meat pie?
Mm-mm. Oh. Nope. Wait for it. It's also known as Arkansas possum pie or just Arkansas pie. But I'm calling it possum pie because I just think that sounds more fun. It's found in restaurants, roadside diners, church cookbooks all across the state. I think they all know about possum pie. But it's called that because it looks like one thing on the outside, vanilla.
Okay.
But it's another thing on the inside, chocolate. So it's pie playing possum.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where they came up with it.
That's cute. That's cute.
So it actually sounds really good, the recipe that I saw.
Well, I mean, I definitely have heard of people actually eating the possum, though. Eating that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes.
And it was often eaten together with sweet potatoes. So maybe that's how that story came about of him eating the sweet potatoes and jumping out of the oven in the roasting pan because it was often cooked together.
Yeah. I heard it was in one of the original editions of Joy of Cooking.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Which
that's
is French,
interesting.
Right? That's mostly a French cooking book, I think.
No,
it's not.
Think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I have The Joy of Cooking, but it's not an old version.
I just feel like you that's an esteemed
I definitely cookbook. Know that in old England cookbooks, you see a lot of different things used as the meat that we would turn our noses up to now. But again, if it's from 17th, 18th century.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you didn't have That's all right. the choices
right.
of things that yeah. you have now. Now, in the 19th and 20th century, these were eaten more, and since they were easy to catch, what people would often do was they would catch the possums, mm-hmm. trap them,
yeah.
feed them.
Oh, plump them up.
Like sweet potatoes, vegetables, and things like that, because it changed the taste of the meat.
Oh, okay.
If they had eaten good things more okay. than eating just bugs and ticks and stuff like that. So they'd fatten them up with other vegetables
yeah.
and then kill them and eat them.
Wow. That's strategic.
To improve the taste of their meal.
That's crazy. Things we don't have to think about.
Oh my goodness, right?
At all.
In 1909, there was a possum and taters banquet that was held in Atlanta to honor President-elect William Howard Taft.
Interesting.
And, you know, there's been many presidents that have even hunted possums. Jimmy Carter was a big fan of hunting possums.
Really?
I don't know if he ate them, but anyway, it's just a small game item that lots of people ate. All right, so one other thing I wanted to say. There is a granite monument to the possum about 5 miles south of Chipley, Florida.
This is so crazy. This reminds me of the monument we described.
To the boll weevil.
That's exactly it. Okay, sorry. Carry on.
Oh, the things we want to remember. But according to the monument inscription, it was erected by the Wausau Community Development Club in 1982. And the Florida State Legislature has proclaimed that the first day of August is Possum Day.
Oh, my.
There in Florida.
Get excited.
Get excited. And the annual Possum Festival, that's Stop. Right, we have a festival to the possum, is the first Saturday in August in Wausau. I hope I'm saying that right. Wausau, Florida. Which is 9 miles south of Chipley. So this is, I looked on the map, it's south of Dothan, north of Panama City.
Okay.
So it is in that panhandle part yeah. of
yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
But looks like a fairly small festival. I mean, the town, I think, was under 400 people, but they said like 10,000 come.
Oh, my gosh.
To the festival. There's a possum parade. There is, of course, a possum queen, because what festival in the South doesn't have a queen? Yeah, lots of different. They don't wow. eat the possum. They don't hurt the possums.
Of course not.
It's just an
Sounds
ode
like it's revered.
To the possum. So,
of course not.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
There you go. I'm assuming it will happen in August this year if COVID is better.
Yeah.
In our numbers.
I was going to say fingers crossed, but I don't know if I'll ever make it down there. It sounds fun though. All right.
Well, shifting gears, we have an armored critter
yes.
to discuss.
Pronounced armadillo, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Not armadillo. Armadillo.
It's spelled armadillo, but I would say armadillo. I immediately think of the
groom's cake.
Yes. The very prominent groom's cake in Steel Magnolias. And if you're not familiar, it is a red velvet cake topped with gray icing in the shape of an armadillo, and it is
a funny scene.
A hilarious part of that movie. I also think of a camping trip that we took down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is very far south from us. And
we're in a tent.
Just me, you, and Mom doing some tent camping. And you were staying up late reading The Firm,
oh my
I believe.
Gosh, The Firm had just come out, y'all, and I could not put it down. I'm reading by flashlight.
By flashlight, yeah. Mom and I were long asleep. And I mean, you were terrified. At
I thought there was a bear. Heard. And there was a bear outside the tent. I just knew it. And
so, Mom, we all run to the car because the car is nearby, even though we're tent camping.
Yes.
And Mom flips the headlights on, and there is a little armadillo scurrying away. I think that might have been the first one I'd ever seen.
Is that right?
Okay. And think about it. We were really far south.
Yeah.
And this was,
well,
a lot of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, whenever that book came out, I don't know when that
came
out.
Late 90s?
Probably early 90s.
So they've had a lot of time to travel up to where we are now. We're seeing a lot more now.
More
so I don't know if we had a lot.
Then. That's true. I had one in my backyard just a few months ago. I
did
got a
you
picture.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You took a picture? Well,
of
see,
course
that's
I did.
Funny
I got
to me.
Fairly close to it just to see what they look like closer up and alive, because I mostly see them dead.
That's true. I flinched at every web page and piece of information I looked at while researching this, because these they are so ugly.
They look like miniature dinosaurs to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, they come from.
Yeah.
They had
huge
versions.
Yeah.
That these are just smaller versions of, but it looks like a dinosaur to me.
I mean, so much that I was like, when am I even going to post on Instagram to promote this episode this week? Maybe I need to put that.
We may lose followers.
Children's book. I'll put the children's book about possums up.
We may lose followers on this topic.
I don't want to put a picture of an armadillo, but I mean, I don't know really how to describe them in detail. I don't know if I want to, but they...
It looks like they have armor on their back.
And they are... that the word means little armored one.
So funny.
That is Spanish, so...
Well, these were very... I mean, you see a lot of these in Texas. And numerous times they brought before the legislature the armadillo becoming the state mammal. It was turned down many times in the 1970s, but finally in 1981, it became...
It was 81?
The state mammal.
Go Texas. Congratulations.
They're nocturnal critters.
Yeah.
They're out mostly from evening to early morning. Now, the one I saw was out in the middle of the afternoon, so I don't know if it was just hungry and anyway.
Yeah. Lost. Who knows?
Who knows? But anyhow, the one thing that is interesting about these, though, is they don't do well in extremely high or low temperatures. So you're probably not going to see them way north all that much.
Yeah, like pattern-wise, they're all over the south and they are headed north, but they're going to be turning around pretty soon. Because
they may have turned around here today.
True.
Good Lord, it's cold here.
But yeah, they're not going to make it up in the far northeast.
No way.
Or the... even Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. They're not going to make it up
just
there very
well. Too cold.
Yeah.
They are animals that burrow. And so that can be problematic if they're in your yard, because they can dig fairly large holes. I know our Uncle Carl was terrorized with at least one armadillo in his yard, making these burrowing holes. And they're mostly solitary. Obviously, they have to mate, so they're not always solitary, but it's not like they work in a pack or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're usually going to say one.
Well, and they use those like large front claws that they have. They're burrowing in search of not just digging to find food, but they're trying to find shelter too.
Yeah,
so I mean, the burrowing is nonstop.
Yeah,
even if they
for
don't
food, shelter,
come
all
across
the needs.
Food. Yeah.
Now, did you see that they, when they're startled, what happens?
This is amazing. That they can jump.
They leap 3 to 4 feet high.
I mean, I had like a million exclamation points beside that in my notes.
It's
I've
wild.
Never heard that. And I've never
well,
seen
I have
that.
From one of my clients who's all into animals had told me about this. And he's like, I think this is why we see them dead so often, is that they leap and that causes them to, it takes time and they end up getting hit.
Okay.
You know, like if it, that might be a good tactic out in a yard, if a dog is running towards them or a coyote or something, and they leap, it's going to scare that animal.
Right.
And
so true.
You know.
A car's not going to get scared. You've just landed and here comes the next one.
Or you just hit the grill of the bottom of the car. I don't know. Because again, most of the ones I see are not alive on the road. Yeah. It's kind of sad.
And like, stiff. I feel like they stiffen more than
rigor mortis has already set in on the
like
side of the road. Have you ever heard of people, I didn't have this in my notes, but I've heard of this phenomenon of people putting like an empty beer can because they stiffen, you know, they're kicked in with rigor mortis, and people will put like either a beer can or a soda can or something in its hand so it looks like, you know,
it
that
fell
they
over.
That they just passed out or something, which is kind of a funny.
Well, most of the ones that we're going to see around here are that you called it a nine band. Is that right?
Yes. I got confused early on.
But there are less known species because there's of the armadillo. But there are 21 armadillo species.
What?
Known
in the
thus
world?
Far to exist. Probably.
Not all here. We only have that one.
Right, right. But I just thought their names were funny enough to give
do
them
tell.
A little bit of
do
air
tell.
Time. We have the screaming hairy armadillo, the greater long-nosed armadillo, the southern naked-tailed armadillo.
No way.
And that could be, that's not southern U.S. That could be like South America
sure.
southern. The pink fairy armadillo, which is only about...
I think I've heard of that one. It's little, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only about the size of a small rabbit.
Okay.
The giant armadillo, 120 pounds.
I'm going to have nightmares.
That is disgusting. Yeah.
I may have a nightmare tonight.
I think that's all the list of...
Those are funny lesser-known ones that I
came across.
Well, they also eat a lot of bugs. I mean, that's one of the good parts. They eat grubs. I mean, I guess if they're going to burrow in your yard, it's kind of like a mole. Yeah, they eat grubs, but they tear the yard up so much that it's...
Yeah, you got to wait.
Problematic.
Yeah.
In fact, with this burrowing, they can even damage tree root systems that can cause trees to have problems.
That's, yeah.
And even house foundations.
That's what I was going to say.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Little critters.
That is no joke.
Now, they mark their territory. And so, again, they're kind of singular most of the time, kind of marking in their territory to have an area. What else to say? Well, I don't know if it's as much as possums, but these two have been used as food.
Yes.
Don't ask me about what parts and all of that. I don't know. But it was called, during the Great Depression, in East Texas, this was called poor man's pork.
Okay.
And it also had a nickname called the Hoover Hog. And I thought this was interesting because the reason it was called the Hoover Hog was that some people considered President Herbert Hoover to be responsible for the Depression. So the fact that they were having to eat this, they were calling it the Hoover Hog.
Wow.
Anyway, they sleep up to 16 hours a day. So that's crazy. All day. I mean, that's they're only out in the night and wee hours of the morning. They're sleeping all the time. Lifespan of about 7 years, give or take. But yeah, they love the South because they don't have very much body fat. And so they like to be where it's a little warmer and conserve that heat.
Well, I mean, the Texans have fully embraced this. In fact, since we just had Groundhog Day not too long ago, I thought I would mention that in Texas, they have Armadillo Day.
They do?
Instead of Groundhog Day. I mean, same day, but they call it Armadillo Day. And so...
Do they have one that...
Instead of Pennsylvania, their eyes shift to Bee Cave, Texas. That's where Bee Cave Bob, the armadillo, travels from his permanent home in Katy, Texas, to predict the changing seasons.
That's
now,
hysterical.
I didn't go as far as to figure out what did he say about this year.
Well, Texas really does kind of stand alone, doesn't it? Like, they're like, we do our own thing. Yes, we're in the United States, but we're also our own thing.
So true.
And so we will have our own critters
so
to predict
true.
When winter will be over. Well, armadillos have very few wild predators just because they're kind of on their own.
And that's
not
how they
really...
keep populating, right?
Yes.
Jeez,
exactly.
No predators. A lot of growth.
So... You will see coyotes, black bears, bobcats, cougars will kill armadillos. But, I mean, there's just not that many. Hawks and owls and feral pigs will prey on the young. Not
wow.
so much the older
wow.
ones. But anyway, there has been a decline in armadillo numbers in areas where feral pig populations increased.
Oh, okay.
So that's... Thing.
All right, word is out among the pig population
that the babies are tasty.
Yeah.
But yeah, the highways are the significant source of mortality for these little guys because they do their little leap and
it seals
their fate.
I was surprised to not see them in. I looked up the highest number of animals killed on the roads.
Okay.
This is across the whole U.S.
Deer.
Killed, not. I think deer would be the most hit, but I don't think they...
Oh, that's because they're bigger. Sometimes they make it.
So squirrels was number one, and then cats.
Oh.
And then rats, and then possums. So armadillo was far enough down on the list that they didn't make the top four that I looked up.
Y'all, get your cat spayed and neutered. I'm going to Bob Barker on you. Get those babies fixed. They're so sweet. Well, armadillos are the only non-human animals that can spread leprosy.
Oh.
I thought that was kind of interesting. It's not high numbers on, but it has been reported, like from people eating it or touching them, that you, it can happen.
Wow.
So have some gloves on if you are doing any kind of movement of a armadillo.
Well, I don't know how long, you know, like I said, when we started this little segment, I don't know how long they've been prevalent in Tennessee, but my husband's lived here for 18 years and he is from Indiana, and he said he was surprised when he got here.
So he was seeing it because he hadn't seen them, because
he thought
Indiana.
They were further south.
Yeah.
Still more.
Yeah.
You know, way far
I'm
south.
I'm seeing them in the last 10 years, huge increase.
Yeah.
And I feel like.
Yeah.
They can swim. So I thought that was a little bit interesting.
That's crazy.
I never thought of that as being even a possibility. But what I read said that they can hold their breath for 4 to 6 minutes. They can walk underwater across just a light stream, not like they're not going to cross the Mississippi River, but a little stream they can walk across. And when they're faced with larger bodies of water, they gulp air to create buoyancy and dog paddle.
Things I'd like to see, actually.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's on YouTube, but
I don't want to look at an armadillo, but I wouldn't mind looking at one swim.
Try to swim. Especially across the Rio Grande or something like that. Oh, I don't know if they can make that. But anyhow, that is all I have
critter. So we can cross that topic off of our list. We have given you all that we know on possums and armadillos.
Whew. Hope we never come to a day when that is in the crock pot.
Yes.
I'll say that.
Yes. And I know many of you listen while you drive. So may you not hit any critters on your drive in, drive out today or this week or this year.
That's right. Did you know I had two different listeners tell me that they had to get tamales after listening to the tamale episode?
Really?
That was so funny. They were like, oh my gosh, you made me so hungry. So you're safe listening to this one. I doubt anybody's
nobody's hungry. Nobody. Okay. Good
that was
content.
Fun.
Thanks that was for bringing fun. That up. And I will leave you with a little passing of the peace. Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal. And we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.